From KCUR, I'm Steve Kraske, and this is Up to Date. When you've had one of those days when everything goes so wrong that you feel like you're in a sitcom, at least you know there isn't an audience laughing at you. This hour, we'll talk with a music journalist who's gathered stories of the worst gigs ever of various artists, from restless audiences to shows that made the singers duck out the stage door. Later, Brian McTavish returns with the weekend to-do list. We'll also hear the latest installment of 90 Mile View and this week's Local Listen. We'll get you up to date after this hour's news. Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. Sometimes the worst shows inspire the best stories. So says John Nickum, author of The Worst Gig, From Psycho Fans to Stage Riots, Famous Musicians Tell All. And the stories they tell. Surly bouncers, skinhead riots, projectile vomiting. Yes, even folks like Def Leppard, Tori Amos, John Mayer, Wynton Marsalis, and virtually every other music star have bad days. John Nickum is the former entertainment editor at the Lawrence Journal World and music editor at The Pitch. He's a frequent entertainment contributor to the Kansas City Star. And John, so good to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Welcome. Well, let's give our listeners a sense of what we're talking about here when we say worst gigs ever, because some of these stories are pretty horrific. Fittingly, the band Kansas, Dust in the Wind, has a story that gives you a pretty clear sense. What happened to the band when it played at a place called Nude Stop?
Oh, yeah, they were playing in Wisconsin. And, of course, the guitarist Rich Williams was talking about how, we think we're going to see all these beautiful farm girls naked. But he said it was like walking into a grocery store and suddenly everyone's naked. And basically what happens is he's playing the show and there's a guy, older guy, heavier set guy dancing in front of him naked, and he just can't concentrate. And he
imagine
thought,
that.
Yeah, and he was like, it bothers you.
So it just wasn't what he hoped it would turn out to be. There's a good story here, John, about how you started asking the worst gig question to begin with. How did you get going on it?
I was the music editor at The Pitch, and I had set up an interview with the guitarist of the Cranberries, who was a very hot band at the time. This is like 94 or so. And he called. It was something like 6 hours early. And I hadn't done enough homework to do the interview. And so I kind of had to wing it. And after that, I was like, you know what? If this ever happens again, I'm going to have a series of questions that I can go to if I ever get stuck.
Yeah.
So I put together some questions. And one of them I had was what's the best show you ever played or your most memorable show? Mm-hmm. And I asked that a couple times and it got nothing that I could use.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, this was great. It was just so,
limp.
It was limp.
Yeah, I hear you.
So I flipped it one time and said, what's the worst show? And I believe it was Peter Frampton I asked first because, of course, live.
Yeah.
And he gave me a nice story and I was like, huh. And then every now and then I'd insert the question. And after a while, I'd gathered about, 15 stories, and I went, this could be a book someday.
Wow.
And
well,
so
good for
from,
you.
Yeah, from then on out, I started asking the question.
What was Peter Frampton's worst gig ever?
Well, he talked about it was fairly early on. He played a show where one of his bandmates, was something wrong with them. I don't know, maybe he was stoned or something, and he wasn't playing up. And Frampton's, he's a real musician, and he was not impressed with this guy's playing, and he thought it was ruining the show. And then he came off stage, and he realized he'd broken out in hives. He was so upset at how this thing went, and that stuck with him more than anything else. And after that, he was like, I'm never playing with anybody who is not up to my speed.
Folks may not realize it, but you are a musician as well, and you have your own worst gig ever story in here.
Yes.
And it's a terrific story.
Thank you.
It's a wince-inducing story.
I spent 10 years before I got into writing full-time, doing music full-time. And one of the shows, I was in a Kansas City-based band called Easter Day, and we played this venue in Wichita. And already, Wichita inspires a lot of bad shows. I don't know what it is, but I was playing a fretless bass, and it has what's called active electronics, which means a battery powers it. And the battery went out. And so I had to switch the battery, and I didn't want to stop the show to do it. So we started playing the song. I had a little intro, and I sat down on the stage. And when I did, I felt something sharp, but, you know, no big deal. You know, show must go on. So I changed the battery out, and I get up there and playing. And after a minute or so, one of the lead singers, Elaine, starts staring at my butt. And I'm like, what? What? And
well,
she
why
points.
Why would that be so unusual, though?
Exactly. Yeah. And my blue jeans were completely red at this point. I'd somehow punctured something with a beer bottle I'd sat on, and it had gone all the way through. Oh. And I started bleeding, and it wouldn't stop. So, you know, we're going to take a short break. And so, you know, we head into the bathroom. I'm stuffing paper towels in my pants, and it just doesn't stop. And it just, what's funny is I remember very little of the show after that, other than we played it. And then on the way back, we drove back to Kansas City. And I was sitting in the other lead singer's car, front seat of his car, and we had towels down and everything. And when we got out and moved it all, I had bled through completely to his seats.
That's a pretty good nomination for worst gig ever. I mean, that would be up there with the absolute worst gig ever.
Yeah. I was thinking about, you know, I got to have my own story, and I couldn't remember one. And then my wife said, didn't you get stabbed one time? And I went, oh, yeah, I had totally forgotten it. Like, I'd put it out of my memory because I didn't, you know, it was like, oh, that's a horrible gig. I'll write about that.
Yeah. You know, to what extent do you think the audience recognizes when a band, you know, is just having a bad night? Because maybe I'm just not discerning enough, but it always seems to me like, you know, most of the time when I go to a concert, it seems like it's a pretty good show. And if someone's really off, I'm always thinking, did I just miss something there or what, you know?
I remember the Flaming Lips tell of a story where they had huge technical problems playing Red Rocks. And they had a smoke or a fog machine. And something, every time they plug it in, it triggered the power going out in the entire stadium. And they were up on stage trying to deal with this. And but they said one of the fallout after that was they keep coming up to people who are like, you know, I didn't really know your band, but just seeing you guys trying to fight through that, trying to make it work, it made me love
kidding.
You.
No kidding.
Yeah, and they got fans
story.
For that.
Yeah, yeah. People gave them kudos for it.
Yeah. They knew they were working hard to make this thing work.
Yeah. Maybe our listeners might want to chime in with the worst gig they've ever seen. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Our email address, UpToDate@KCUR.org, or you can tweet us @KCUR UpToDate. John Nickum is our guest. His new book, The Worst Gig, From Psycho Fans to Stage Riots. Famous musicians tell all. You know, I thought Pat Metheny, the jazz guitarist from Lee's Summit, I've seen him any number of times. Just he's absolutely in the vanguard of sort of the whole current jazz movement these days. He's got a tale that really I felt his pain just reading the thing.
It is painful. He's playing a show in Palermo, and it turns out they're driving him to where the venue is going to be, and he realizes it's the largest soccer stadium on the island of Sicily.
And he's screaming, no, this can't be right.
This can't be where I'm
here.
Playing.
Yeah.
Because it's in a band that's a three-piece. You know, one of the guys is playing like vibraphone or whatever. And it's like a soft band. It's not his electric band.
Well, he had his, the bassist was the great Charlie Hayden, right?
Oh, right.
That's who he's with, yeah.
And he, so he gets there and the stage is in the middle of the field. And it's roped off from the actual stands, and he's thinking, oh, they're going to let people get on the field. And he says, are you going to let them on? And the guy says, oh, no, we never let anybody on the grass. So he's playing there, and he said that the closest audience member of this place that seats like 70,000 people is half a football field away. And then he says, in the worst indignity, he gets up there, and the PA they have is that he says the type that you'd have at a wedding. So that's a bad gig.
That's a really bad gig. Your audience is so far away from you. How can you connect? And he said they played through it, but it must have been just absolutely.
Well, you know, almost all of these stories end with, and we played through it.
Yeah.
You know, because what do you do?
What else are you going to do? The show must go on, right? Let's go to some calls here. Let's go to Mike from Lawrence. Mike, you're on UpToDate. Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call. Actually, the show that whole night was a debacle. I'd gone to the Granada to see Veruca Salt. There was two women in that band, and they were the drummer was cheating on one of them with the other. And they were giving each other dagger eyes the whole night. I remember being in, and I'm fixing to drive past it. I remember being in that alley waiting for them to come out for autographs for my brother. I could just hear them screaming at each other below the Granada stage, and they never came out.
Mike, did you know they were having problems when you were in the audience?
Yeah, because I played in a band, and I know when people don't like each other.
Yeah, so you knew what was going on.
Oh, yeah. And then the other one was docking at Monsters of Rock in 1988, watching George Lynch make a funny face when he screwed up a note in their hit song in front of 40,000 people.
It happens. It happens.
Oh, yeah.
Mike, I'm glad you called. Thank you.
Veruca Salt, I got to call them and get that. I doubt that they'd tell me that story, though.
Probably not. Yes. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Let's go to Greg, who has a Grateful Dead story for us. Greg from Kansas City, Missouri. Good morning.
Yeah. The Grateful Dead, as you know, was the sort of longest-running touring band in, I think, rock history. But I had a friend who was a Deadhead from Southern Missouri, been trying to get me to see the Grateful Dead for years and years and years, and I guess I didn't appreciate them. They came to Starlight one year on Labor Day weekend. It was my birthday. It was probably one of the top three concerts I've ever been to, both because of the band and because of the crowd. It was just an extraordinary experience. The next year, also on Labor Day weekend, they came back to Starlight. It was one of the worst concerts I've ever been to because it was the end of a tour and Jerry Garcia was sick.
Oh.
And they cut it short. It wasn't a good concert. I think people underestimate. That happened to me once, too, with Buddy Guy, where he played with Flying Rate of Chance one year. It was astounding. And then he played down at the Liberty Memorial for the Spirit Festival or whatever it was. And he was horrible. Short concert. And I think, you know, and performers get sick. And sometimes they can't. They may still try to go on with the show, but it sometimes isn't, up to their standards.
Yeah, Greg, I'm glad you called. Thank you. And along those lines, you've got a Grace Slick story in this book. Am I recalling this right?
Riot in Germany?
Yeah, tell us about that, because she couldn't go on one night and was...
Yeah, they had already... I guess some bands had already canceled this festival in Germany they were playing.
So the crowd's already in a bad mood.
Yeah.
They're not in a good...
Yeah. And it was kind of a... It was a mix of American servicemen and then kind of militant German music fans.
Mm-hmm.
Not a great clash. And Grace had some kind of stomach bug, and so they went out there to announce, hey, she's not going to play. And the crowd basically starts to riot, and it turns into a all-out fight where these two parties are fighting each other.
And things are getting thrown.
Yeah, things are getting thrown. One of the band members roadies got hit with a bottle and crumpled to the ground like a sack of cement, I think was the line. And then they just had to watch as the riot police are called in and start beating up these guys. So it was one of those, and it's kind of, that story was one, that was the only one in the book that I'd heard before, but it was just kind of told from a different viewpoint because it's kind of a famous riot type story.
Yeah. We have an email here from Shem from, writes us at uptodate@kcur.org. I saw the Flaming Lips lead singer's hair catch on fire at the Grand Emporium after a pyrotechnic problems of some kind.
Wow, and Wayne Coyne has some excellent huge hair, so that could have burned for a while.
That would hurt.
He didn't tell me that one. It's interesting. I've interviewed two different people from the Flaming Lips because Cliff Scurlock lives in Lawrence, which is where I live. That story has not come up yet. But those guys play a million shows. I can imagine they've got multiple worst gigs.
Yeah.
In fact,
absolutely.
That happens a lot. I remember talking to the guy from Def Leppard and Phil Collin, the guitarist, and he was like, well, I've got a few. And he gave me six consecutive worst gig stories that were all really good. And it's like, geez, how do I narrow these down?
How did you?
I kind of picked ones that kind of had a theme, and I settled on one that ended up being a tear gas attack that was pretty good. But he's been very supportive of the book. He's been putting it on Facebook and things like that.
So. Well, that's a story, if I recall correctly, where they're playing a concert and suddenly the crowd is fleeing and they're disappearing right in front of their eyes. And again, one of those moments as a reader where I'm trying to connect with this. You're sitting there playing a show and your audience is just running for the exits and fleeing. I think it was an outdoor show. They're just running pell-mell all over the place. You're like, what happened?
What happened? And that's what he said to me. He goes, it was so strange because he couldn't fathom why everybody would clear out so quick. And sure enough, it was tear gas, and that'll do it.
I mean, do most of these stories seem to occur, John, when a band is early in its sort of its infancy, because you know the setup's not as great, and the venues aren't as perhaps as well polished as a bigger band might enjoy?
I think what's interesting is it doesn't matter the level of fame you're at; it doesn't insulate you from bad gigs. There's the bad gigs that, oh, we're nobodies, we're playing a bar, and there's indignities in that. And there's the ones that we are giant headliners and enormous problems happen because of it. Everybody has a worst gig.
Yeah. 816-235-2888 if you want to recount the worst concert performance you ever saw, to sort of go along with John Nickum's book here, The Worst Gig, From Psycho Fans to Stage Riots, Famous Musicians Tell All. You know, what was the absolute worst gig that you came across in doing your own research here?
There were two that I think were pretty horrifying. One is guitarist Joe Satriani. He was playing a festival in Malaysia, and his slot was at about 3 in the morning, and it's a huge festival. I mean, thousands of people. Apparently, some kind of military coup happened while he was there.
Oh, my gosh.
And the government's army forces run up on stage, point machine guns at everybody, and say, stop playing or we're shooting. And so he's like, okay.
That's a worse gig.
Yeah, he walks off stage, puts his guitar away, gets in a taxi, and leaves the country.
Man.
Now, that's a gig cut short.
That's a real, real gig cut short.
Yes.
Tim writes us this at UpToDate@KCUR.org. My band played a gig where there was no AC power, so our guitar guy brought his PA and plugged it into a power inverter and connected the power inverter to the cigarette lighter in his car. Oh. Every time the singer hit a loud note, the power would go out, and we had to reset the power in the car and start all over again.
Unbelievable. I'm amazed that could even power a PA.
Yeah, that's...
Wow, a car battery powering a PA.
Not too bad.
Awesome.
Let's go to Spike from Kansas City, Missouri. Spike, good morning.
Good morning. I'll never forget this one because it was by far the most unbelievable thing I'd seen. And this was out at Starlight. I think it was about 3 years ago. Depeche Mode came to play Starlight. And the story goes, one of the... I don't think it was Martin. I don't remember which one of the lead guys had gotten sick the night before, but they started the show and they played two songs. They tried to play three. It fell apart. Mm. They shut it down and went home, and everybody, you know, kind of lost out on that thing. They didn't refund any tickets or anything. It was a horrible, horrible night.
I got asked to go to that show, and I wish I would have, because I had heard how incredibly bad that was.
Should they have refunded your money, Spike?
No, they never did. We tried and it never happened.
I mean, should they have?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I never pursued it, but I think maybe they should have.
Yeah. I mean, what determines, you know, when a band will refund? What has to happen to merit a refund, John? Is there sort of a rule of thumb in the music business?
You know, the problem is the venue's still out the money either way, so they need to keep the money. The band itself would have to refund, you know, and I don't know how you'd work that out, because the venue's not going to. Because they already opened up and booked the thing and paid their employees.
Yeah. Spike, I'm glad you called. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
You know, speaking of that experience that Spike just talked about, you have a story in the book about Tori Amos playing. And if I recall, again, that story correctly, John, she began a show, wasn't feeling it, sort of took a pause, went downstairs or went off stage to sort of regroup. What happened?
She was
there?
Playing a show that was being taped for the MTV Unplugged show, which at the time was a huge
deal.
Thing.
Yeah.
And she was just not feeling it, and you know, I've mentioned before, she's a creature of whimsy. You know, she's got to feel it, especially as intimate as her shows are. And she kind of has a little bit of a breakdown as this thing just isn't working, and she regroups. They start and stop. Then finally, I think it's one of her road managers or something says, it might be the lights, because it was lit for television, and of course she's used to playing lit for a stage. So they brought all the lights down and put some, you know, colored floods on her.
Yeah.
She did the show, and then it was great. And so that's in the chapter called It's All Good, which I ended the book with, to show that there's a lot of musicians who, no matter how bad the show is, they end up taking something positive away from it. And that was her version of that.
Yeah, but she tried to get it going. And she wanted not to see the audience as much, right? She wanted to feel a little bit more in her own
little... Yeah, she said it felt like she was naked taking a shower.
Yeah.
Because she, you know, she could see everybody.
But you're struck by the fact that these performers, they all have a story they can really readily tick off at the top of their head, right?
Generally, I've asked a lot of musicians this question. I've interviewed hundreds, if not thousands, of people over the year. And I would say the ratio is about every third or fourth interview with somebody famous, I get a usable story. Most of the time I'll get, oh, do I have a story for you? You're not going to believe what happened. And then they tell it. Other times I'll get...
And it's not that terrific, you mean? Or
well, you know, sometimes I'll get one that's okay. But a lot of times I will get, you know, I don't want to talk about it. How so? I don't want to think about it again. You know, it was like some scarring incident.
I'm not going to tell you about it. Yeah.
Right. Or I don't like how it will reflect on other people either in the band or at the venue or how that makes them look.
Oh, okay. Mick from Lawrence writes us this. When Starship played we were talking about Grace Slick a few minutes ago. When Starship played Kansas City sometime in the early 80s at the Midland, Grace Slick tried to sing the first few songs but was obviously too drunk. They shoved her off stage and Marty Balin covered her parts the rest of the night. There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's at the center of a lot of these.
Surprise, surprise,
yes.
Right? Maybe not. Yeah. Let's go to Joan from Prairie Village. Joan, good morning.
Good morning. Mine, interesting events, memorable, took place in the 50s when Jenkins still had a music company downtown. They had an auditorium, and they were having an organist play. His name was... I believe E. Hans Flatt, and he played all over town at the ballparks and so forth. And the auditorium was full, and halfway through the performance, he dropped dead on the keyboard. And
oh my God.
The audience was just stunned. There wasn't a sound in the auditorium. After someone checked him, he was definitely dead. We all stood up, and someone started the Lord's Prayer. And we recited it, and then we all quietly left.
Oh my gosh. Good story, Joan.
Haven't heard that one before.
That definitely qualifies as a worse gig.
Okay.
Joan, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Let's go to Lori from Miriam. Lori, good morning.
Good morning. Well, I when I was in high school and went to the first Lollapalooza concert, and we were late, walked in late. And there was just this, the whole crowd when we walked in was just chanting and jumping together. And it was very like a riot, like a riot against the police that were there. And the police were carrying people out, and everyone was screaming at the police and cursing at the police. And the band, I think it might have been Ice-T or 50 Cent right then, they started also chanting. So the entire sandstone was almost like it was like a riot. And it was, and then afterwards, when we left, all my tires were slashed on my car. And then there were three other cars around me that their tires were slashed, and there were fires in the parking lot. And it was just a real crazy, crazy concert.
Boy, yeah, that sounds like it. Laura, I'm glad you called. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
We're talking with John Nickum about his new book about worst gigs ever for the musicians who play them. The book, The Worst Gig, From Psycho Fans to Stage Riots, Famous Musicians Tell All. Our phone number here, 816-235-2888. Our email address, updatedate@kcur.org. You know, one thing that strikes me about these stories is there's a lot of violence, you know, attached to, you know, some of these stories. And I'm sort of wondering, why is that? I mean, people go to a concert to hear music. Why is violence and anger sort of just right around the corner lurking here?
I divided the book into eight chapters, and one of which is called Violence, because there were that many stories that fit into violence. I don't know the whys of it. I can tell you that it's certainly a recurring theme. In fact, I've got a story that's
I think, the best of the violent stories.
Yeah, do tell.
It's Ian MacKay of Fugazi. In the early 90s, they were playing Warsaw, Poland, and they were performing on a college campus where they were, where the venue was and where they were also staying. Well, apparently earlier in the day, a couple skinheads had come in and tried to buy tickets to the show, and they were turned away. And the skinheads did not take to that. So later in the day, they came back with some of their friends and decided to find the band and have a word with them, except some of their friends translated into 200 skinheads. And they attacked the campus, and they started pushing things over, burning things, breaking windows, beating up people. And the band catches wind that this is happening. They're in Poland. They don't speak Polish. Their van that has all their equipment and is kind of their lifeblood is parked somewhere else. And the story is them trying to escape this group of skinheads and find the van and make sure to get it out of there, because they knew if the van was burned to the ground, they were financially ruined. And it plays out kind of like Argo, them trying to get out of there. It's an amazing story.
But again, you just sort of wonder why the connection between music and violence, because in theory, it should be just the opposite, right?
It should be.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go back to some calls here. And LT from Harrisonville. LT, good morning.
Hello. This is nothing as bad as what you all are talking about, but we went to see Shinedown at the Missouri State Fair a few years back, and there were two other bands. And we actually saw the two other bands. I can't even remember the names of them. But anyway, this huge storm came in. It got super windy, and it was kind of scary for the bands, I thought. And it started pouring down rain. We waited for like an hour and a half in the rain because Shinedown was going to come out, and they never did. And we did get reimbursed for the concert. So
there was some justice there.
What's that?
There was some justice in the end, it sounds like.
There was, but obviously everybody wants their money back, but we did see the first two bands, so I thought, but they gave us the full amount back, so I still wanted to see Shinedown, but it didn't happen.
Yeah,
that's another of the book's chapters, Mother Nature's Wrath.
LT, thanks for the call. You know, you've seen a lot of shows, John. In your opinion, what's the best way to deal with a show that's heading south, you know, turning sour? Do you end it early? Do you soldier through? What do you recommend? What would be your advice at this point in your career?
Some of my favorite gigs were ones where it is going south, because I was always in bands that were very confident in our music abilities and confident on the mic and could improvise. And we would turn it into something that was fun for us.
Mm-hmm.
Whether maybe fun isn't the word, but something memorable.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a fan of the Cowboy Junkies, and you begin this book with a story with the lead singer of that group, whose name is escaping me.
Margot Timmons.
And tell us about this story, because it's a neat story.
I love this story.
Yeah, yeah.
It was their first album, and they got invited by the record label to play a private party for all of the other execs of the company.
Because they're a big new thing coming on the scene.
Huge new thing.
Mm-hmm.
They get flown to this mountaintop retreat in Spain, and they ask Margot to get up there and do a song a cappella.
So, and she doesn't want to do it.
She doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
But she gets up there, and she starts to sing by herself and notices that all these other execs and such have been there for hours, and they're kind of trapped up there. And what have they been doing? They've been drinking. So everybody is drunk. Half of them are asleep. In fact, there's a guy in front of her who is snoring so loud, it's actually louder than how she's singing. So she is trying desperately to focus on anybody who's paying attention. And she sees this guy in the background.
One guy.
This huge head. And he's the guy who's looking at her. So she starts singing to him. And as she keeps going, it starts to dawn on her, I know this guy.
Yes.
And then it comes into focus, and it's Gene Simmons of Kiss.
And of course. Who
of
else?
Course.
Of course it's Gene Simmons.
And afterward, he comes up to her and goes, wow, that's a tough gig.
he
knew.
He felt her pain.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give Gene Simmons at least a little bit of credit for that. Yeah. Matthew from Kansas City, Missouri. Matthew, good morning.
Good morning. Great topic, guys. Just wanted to share one that was my first worst gig. Was Beck's first concert not at a festival. He came out and said, hey, it's really great to see a whole bunch of people here that are just our freaks in Philadelphia. And the opening band was the Cranberries, but the opening band was a new startup called Atari Teenage Riot, mm-hmm. which you haven't seen was pretty hardcore back in, like, 1997. And so they have, like, a smattering of, like, 10 fans that were just there just throwing a ruckus the whole time. They didn't want to be there. They had no business being there. And they just kept pushing people around and moshing in the middle of, like, laid-back, trancy songs. And then one of them, in the middle of Devil's Haircut, actually threw a hoodie that hit the mic as Beck was singing, kind of like wrapped around his head so he couldn't ignore it anymore and actually had to interrupt the show. Mm-hmm. And he handled it pretty well, but the typically kind of laid-back, quiet Cranberries fans weren't having it anymore. And it was hilarious to watch, like, 50 or 60, like, sweater wearers on the floor just kind of, like, pick up, like physically pick up the 10 or 15, like, Atari Teenage Riot punk rock teenagers and then just, like, push them out the doors of the Cortex Spectrum so that that could get back on with the show.
Man, good story, Matthew. Thanks for sharing it. Appreciate it.
Thanks for your work.
Well, John, we're out of time, but I want to thank you for your time. Again, John Nickum's new book, The Worst Gig, From Psycho Fans to Stage Riots, Famous Musicians Tell All. And I'm sorry we couldn't get to all our phone calls here. Jen, Cherry, Doug, Miner, I'm sorry I don't have time to get to all your stories. But great book.
Thank
John,
you.
Thanks
and
for
I've got
sharing
a
it with us.
Signing Barnes & Noble, November 2nd on the Plaza, 5 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's John Nickum. Again, his new book, The Worst Gig.